It's quite clear that the victory of the Greeks over the Persians resulted in them more clearly articulating in their own minds the idea of what freedom entailed. And so the characteristic notion of Greek freedom that takes root at this time is that it is the freedom of a community to exist autonomously, free of the influence of an outside power. And this remained a powerful idea throughout the rest of Greek history and remains a powerful idea and an interpretation of freedom even today. This victory of the Greeks and the clearer statement of a Greek identity entailed a kind of deliberate misunderstanding of the Persians. But it's not hard to understand how this could come about. The Persians were, as we've seen, in fact, a military elite that ruled militaristically over a large empire. And yet, in the eyes of the Greeks, the fact that they'd been defeated meant that somehow they were less than full men, that they were actually effeminate. This is far from the real truth, but it is the way that the Greeks chose to think about the Persians. And various markers were used to show this, so that when the Greeks exercised, they exercised heroically in the nude. Their statues show athletes heroically nude. Persians, on the other hand, wore trousers, something extremely suspect and effeminate, something that suggested the weakness and the softness of Eastern life. One finds, after this time now, much more clearly articulated ideas of the superiority of the Greeks, of a kind of ethnic and racial superiority, which one doesn't find in earlier writings about the Greeks or about other peoples. In the writings of the Hippocratic Corpus, the medical writers of the 5th century, shortly after these events, one finds the writers saying that the Greeks are fortunate because they live in the most moderate climate, but in the softer parts of Asia, the climate then creates softer people. Now, these pernicious ideas, I think, have taken root and remain, unfortunately, a kind of racist undercurrent in the way that we think about the West and the East. Edith Hall has used the term inventing the barbarian to talk about the way in which from this time the Greeks no longer think of barbaros merely to mean someone who speaks a language that I don't understand, ba 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 ba, but someone who is actually inferior, whose culture can be measured next to mine and be found wanting. A very clear statement of this, I think, comes in a play written very shortly after these events. And I want to talk about its ancient reception and its modern reception. The play is The Persae, The Persians, written by Aeschylus and first put on the stage in 472 BC. And interestingly, the producer of that first performance was Pericles, a young Athenian statesman who would become even more notable later in the century. Now, this play is an interesting play because it is one of the few early Greek plays that actually deals with relatively contemporary events. The Greeks tended to put on the stage stories drawn from their mythology, the stories of Oedipus and his incest, the story of Clytemnestra's murder of Agamemnon, a Homeric story. But all of a sudden, now, in the aftermath of the Persian War, the Athenians have developed a kind of confidence that says the events of our own immediate past are as important, as resonant, as significant as the great events of Homer and myth. That play, The Persae, was produced more recently, some 20 years ago, at Epidaurus, one of the best preserved and most magnificent of the Greek theatres. And an American scholar who was present at the time of this production recounts an episode, an anecdote, that I think is quite revealing. At one point in the play, a messenger arrives from the defeated Salamis to tell Atossa, the queen mother, the story of her son's disaster. And in interviewing the messenger, Atossa says, "Who rules these men? Who do they call king?" Meaning the Athenians. To which the messenger replies, "They call no man king, they are a free people." When this play was produced in the 70s, at the moment that the messenger uttered that line, the audience erupted into such applause that the play stopped for 5 minutes. And at the end of the applause, the audience insisted that he go back and start the scene from the beginning and do it all over. I'd like you to consider what it must have been like to have been in the audience in 472, witnessing a play about events of only less than a decade earlier, written by a man whose family had been involved in the Persian Wars. We, the audience, had been there, and now we were witnessing a play not dealing with myth, but dealing with our victory over the Persians, the victory that made possible the culture of classical Greece.